Welcome to the Automatic Merchandiser State of the Vending Industry Report podcast. Today we have four industry veterans who will give their insights on the state of the industry. The State of the Industry Report in the current issue of Automatic Merchandiser presents findings based on 2009 operator performance. This was the most challenging year in the industry's history from a revenue standpoint. Operator sales declined 10 percentage points in 2009 following a 5-point fall in 2008. Revenues fell in all major product categories. In 2008, operators invoked profit improvement measures that helped 2009 profitability. There were surprisingly some increases in investment in technologies such as cashless transactions and remote monitoring. Sales have stabilized, but strong growth is not expected this year. I would like to ask each of the three operators, and our three operators today are Scott Guardino of Paramount Automated Services, Pompano Beach, Florida, Ralph Sinise Jr., President of Sinise Services in Columbus, Ohio, and Ray Friedrich, General Manager of Sterling Services in Canton, Michigan. I'd like to ask each of you what key changes you made in your business in the last 2 years and what impact have those changes had on your performance. Scott, let me start with you.
Okay. I think that, first of all, we've increased our sales staff. We've even more increased our account retention staff, our account managers. And I think that probably the biggest change we've made is continuing to increase our direction into coffee service, OCS.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 6 months, opening up a branch in another state had a big impact on us.
Okay. And was 2009 stronger for you profit-wise?
It was, only because a lot of the G&A costs were absorbed by numerous companies that we now operate, the same basic top management staff. But left to its own device as a vending company, would not have been.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is performance stabilizing at this point for you?
Not for me. I still see same-store sales dropping.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, Ralph, Ralph Sinise of Sinise Services, let me pose the same question. What key changes did you make in your business in the last 2 years? What impact have those had on your business?
Well, Elliot, like you said, we saw drops in 08. We actually saw drops in 07, 08, and certainly 09. In 09, we had even larger drops. So I did an unusual thing. I actually brought in a company that helps companies to put in more systems and controls. And this actually helped me with my cost of goods more than anything else, because I could not manage the top line growth. So I actually brought this company in to help us, because our current software at the time was not doing enough to help us. So we actually brought in a company that actually helped us to improve our cost of goods by about 4.5 points, which was major for our company. And so that's what we've really focused on. And we've worked with our route folks really hard to make sure they're a part of this, because no matter how hard we try, we couldn't bring same store sales up. But we focused on reductions in waste, cost of goods, very strongly. The other thing we did was try to hire additional sales folks, which we have, but even with that, yes, we have growth, but you can't keep up with the erosion of your same-store sales, so we had to manage it from a cost standpoint. So that's what we've done more than anything else. We've tried credit card readers to try to improve that. We've improved our Venn software system to help us manage it better. And we also have an account retention program now that we've put in place, just to try to retain more and more work as much as possible in this very competitive world we're in today. So that's some of the steps that we've taken.
Okay. And Ray Friedrich from Sterling Services, Canton, Michigan, what were the key changes you made and what has been the impact for you?
You know, being in Detroit, the epicenter of manufacturing, the decline was extremely rapid and fairly severe. Very, very, very difficult market here. 07 it started, 08 and 09 have not gotten a heck of a lot better. 010 has begun to level off. What we did was, it was very fast and furious, and so we we looked at it from a back-to-basic standpoint, blocking and tackling, making sure we're doing all the right things. But more importantly, we did a snapshot. We did kind of a computer reset, if you will. And we looked at where our revenue was currently after the loss of business that we all suffered, and looked at where our expenses were when we were that size of an organization a few years ago, and what were our cost structures at that point. So we had that. We used that as a template for our goals, and then we went line by line. And now, obviously, some things we could not affect, as well as others. Cost of goods has certainly gone up. You know, some of our fixed costs, but we went line by line and attacked every expense we possibly could. That was one of the first things. Account retention and sales efforts, we increased those, tried to affect the top line. Cost of goods, I think I heard one of the guys just mention cost of goods, managing them and controlling them. We've gotten infinitely better at that, and we've realized about a 3 to 4 point swing there. And then we just looked at what lines of business we were very good at and we felt we had good opportunity in, coffee being one, some of the self-checkout retailing opportunities that are out there. We've advanced in that and expanded that. And our food service has seen actually growth over the last couple years, and we think we've got a good program, so we've been out selling that and trying to grow our top end that way. Which, of course, feeds the vending business, no matter how you look at it.
Okay. Well, that segues nicely into my next question. Our State of the Industry report shows that the manual feeding portion of the industry is the portion that really took the biggest hit of all in 2009. And Ray, you just said that was a growth area for you. So what exactly did you do in that area that was able to turn that around?
Well, we've only been in the dining business for about 5 years, so we had less distance to fall, if you will, which gave us an advantage. And then we just looked at the marketplace and we said, you know, what are folks doing that's working, and what are they doing that isn't working? And we just took a different approach. We used a technology in our cafes with regard to digital signage. Online ordering systems, online menus, so that folks can actually place an order at their desktop and come down and pick it up. We concentrate on more of a restaurant quality product and service. So we've expanded menu selections. Those are the primary driving factors. We just try to separate ourselves from the big operations, the big national approaches to the business. We wanted to differentiate ourselves, and that's how we accomplished that.
Okay. Now, Ralph, you've had a lot of experience in manual feeding. Is there anything you think operators can do to improve their manual food sales in this economy?
Well, our sales did not drop like that either. Our sales, I think I read that you thought it dropped about 18 points. Ours dropped in 2009 about 8%. So, again, we're back to managing margins as I think I just heard one of the gentlemen say, we're back to managing margins. So we have what they call a weekly operating report that we watch every one of our restaurant operations. So that's how we do it. And every dining manager takes inventory on a weekly basis, not to get too far into the operations, but we actually watch labor, cost of goods, and so we know daily, weekly, monthly exactly how each one of these operations are functioning. And, of course, there's less and less subsidized dining operations, so it's on your own nickel, so you really got to watch it even closer. So then every month we have a dining meeting in our different areas of the state to go through new product developments from our food suppliers and new recipes that we can bring in to try to bring in the new hotter items that people want to see nowadays. So that's what we're trying to do to combat these types of things. But that weekly operating report is one of the keys. We make sure our dining managers are actually watching this business very close. We're improving our inventory turns, receiving fair and adequate pricing, and then reducing the waste of those operations greatly, including the labor. So that's how we're managing it right now.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to bring in Jeff Parks, a consultant. Jeff is a former operator of a very large regional vending and food service company. Currently, Jeff is an operational and sales strategist based in Madison, Wisconsin. Jeff, I wanted to specifically talk about the manual feeding part of the business. You've just heard what Ray and Ralph are doing in this area. What do you think are some of the things operators should be doing with their manual feeding to be successful?
Well, they should emulate what Ray and Ralph are doing. Certainly applaud Ralph for watching his business on a weekly basis. Those vending operators could learn a lot from that. And Ray using more restaurant-type products. First thing I always worry about in food service is, are you doing the job? And in order to make sure you're doing the job, you have to go find out from your customer if they think you're providing a good service and a good value. And once you've got that established, then I think you put yourself in a good position to negotiate pricing with client, hours of operation. And it really does become, to Ray's point, I think he was getting to about the kind of contract you negotiate, so you don't put yourself in a position where it's a lose-lose.
Okay. And are there some specific things you can do to differentiate yourself in food service, Jeff?
Yeah, certainly with what Ray was talking about, online menu ordering, and Ralph talking about he's working on, contemporary menu and recipes, I certainly applaud that. Making sure that you're trying not to be all things to all people in a cafeteria. You don't need to have five stations open each day. You know, your design of menu is very important. If your cafeteria employees are all working 8 hours a day, believe me, they don't do that in a restaurant. And that's tough, because if for 20 years you've been making sure people work 8 hours a day, cafeteria sales are never the same Monday through Friday. But yet a lot of people have the same labor Monday through Friday. And because it's such a tough margin business, you just have to manage that labor, manage your pricing, and make sure you do all the promotions to keep yourself on the forefront of your customer.
Do you think that manual food-specific software is absolutely necessary?
I think it's really based on what your company's niche is. You know, I don't know what Ray or Ralph use. I never found it to be really great. I think a point-of-sale register is very important so that you can do ideal product costs. I think those are very helpful. Making sure you record your waste. Whether or not you want to get into nutritional design, that's entirely each company's preference.
Okay. Ray, are you using manual feeding-specific software?
No, we're not. Actually, we've got this was an excellent conversation, gentlemen. We focus on our pretty robust POS system to help us manage what we're selling, our real food costs. We've got one of our managing partners watches the numbers very, very closely. And to Jeff's point with the labor, rarely do you need a full staff on Friday. And so we've been very aggressive in managing the day-to-day labor and food costs. And our POS system does provide a lot of support in the form of data to help us manage that.
Okay. And Ralph, are you using manual feeding specific software?
I'll tell you, we designed something in-house from our own folks because one of our chefs has become more of an accountant-type position software guy, and he actually helped us develop something. So we actually, our real focus is watching the food cost based on all the different areas, whether it be dairy, breads, meats, and the inventory. And so we're very anal about watching food cost to the nth degree, and we're also watching sales per man hours, what we all also watch. So we know where we should be staffing these operations and when we shouldn't. So I think you said Jeff was absolutely right. Managing that to the strength and then showing that the dining operations people, our client, we don't need all these stations open all these particular times. And if we can manage those key times and manage the holidays and, like 4th of July coming up right now, if we can manage the living heck out of those times, then we got a chance to eke out a small profit out of this operation that used to be, in our company, always a loss, just to get the vending. Now the dining has consistently made money in our business. So, and we do have people watching it extremely close. And we have one leader that runs that whole business, and she has 40 different managers out there watching those stores. And if we have a problem account, it's on a watch list, and it's watched daily. And our next step is to actually go online with actually online systems so we know online exactly what's happening in those operations so everyone can be watched on a daily basis. It's back to block and tackling in these operations. That's what I see it as.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just have one final question for each of you. Scott Gardino, let me start with you. Are you optimistic about the future?
I'm not optimistic about the future of operating a vending company, Elliot, but I am optimistic about continuing with both horizontal and vertical growth into other related businesses that continue to help us have a better company and a better bottom line.
You're referring to coffee service?
Well, there's numerous things that we've done, you know, to bring other services and other companies that have been acquired into here, you know, both here locally and opening up another branch. And I think that by us continuing to look at how we can better, I guess it's sort of a, I'm not sure if I'm verbing this correctly, but better utilize our G&A to cover more and do more.
Uh-huh.
That's what seems to be working for us right now.
Okay. And you've gotten into ice cream vending as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ray Friedrich, are you optimistic about the future?
I am. I think it's going to be a different business. It's certainly a thinning of the herd. If you will, the weaker, smaller, in some cases, not on all cases, some of the small guys are going to become big guys. We all probably started off as small operations, but I think that we're all going to be better at the end of the day. We're going to be more competitive. We're going to have a better control of our businesses. And I think in using technology and making sure that you are changing your business model slightly and bringing in, as Scott pointed out, other sister or kin to vending opportunities in your operation to help diversify your company, and which also entrenches you more into your client. The more things you can do, but you've got to do well. But if you can provide multiple services, like the vending, food service, coffee, maybe Janto, whatever that looks like, it strengthens your relationship. But I am optimistic, Elliot.
Okay, good to hear. Ralph Sinise Jr., are you optimistic?
I would say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I think what these gentlemen just said is absolutely the truth. The only thing, other thing I would echo is the technology side of the business to actually improve the service, because I think vending is its own worst enemy. I think we've let customers slip right by us because people are looking for maybe a little different model, and whatever we can do to help get the young folks to go back to the vending equipment, it is a nice business. You put in steel boxes that vend automated retailing product in certain key spots, you're bound to sell some product if you do a good job. So I think there's more and more favorable products that are coming out for us to use. And I think it forces us to become stronger and better business people, even with less sales at all the locations that we all service, which is going to force us to become better operators and be able to make money on a smaller size business. So that I think in itself is a good thing, because it's teaching us how to become better business people on the business model that we have to thrive in, that we're forced to the rest of our career lives. But, you know, I heard last night the president's talk about he's requested that we're going to increase United States manufacturing by, I forget what the amount of percent was, and that's what we really need in this industry. That's what's hurt so much. You guys all know we make nothing in this country anymore. Everything's been sent to overseas. That's what's hurt our industry so much. So I'm just thrilled to hear that we're trying to do some things to help manufacturing in our country. And I think that'd be one of the major things to help the actual industry. While we, in fact, do more to improve our operations to work on a smaller sales base.
Okay. Jeff Parks, are you optimistic about automatic merchandising?
Yeah, I certainly am. I think I applaud those guys for, you know, no question, as I go around the United States, those that are growing internally and trying to find something to augment their business, whether it's catering, OCS, or something different, I think is great. And basically what Ralph says, I'm 100% agreement with. you can't live off of volume anymore. And that's what the vending industry's done. And to a degree, unfortunately, the vending industry's kind of become, they live off of rebates too, which is part of the world, but you do have to learn how to make money from your customer by providing a service. And the people out there, I get to see a lot of them. They're just fabulous. And a lot of great owners out there, and that's always good to see.
Okay. All right. Well, that concludes the podcast. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elliot. Take care.
Thanks, Elliot.